In Hebrews 12, 1 through 17, believers are commanded that they should follow the example of the Old Testament saints and run with patience the race that is set before them. Whereas in 12, 18 through 24, it is seen that God can be approached through Jesus. Therefore, according to Hebrews 12, 25 through 29, these Hebrews professing faith in Christ but contemplating abandoning Christ and Christianity should not refuse God, or they will not escape. In verses 20 through 21, we see that you readers of Hebrews have not come to the law. I remind you of Hebrews 12, 18, and 19, which we've already considered. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated, that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. These readers of Hebrews have not come to that scene which the Israelites experienced back in Exodus. For they, meaning the Israelites, could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. Verses 20 and 21 form a parenthesis between the teaching in verses 18 and 19, which indicate what professing believers had not come to, and verses 22 through 24, which indicates what believers had come to. For is used to explain. It might instead be emphatic and understood in the sense of indeed or in fact. They, that's the Israelites, could not endure is they were not bearing patiently. They were not enduring, or they were not putting up with. And its tense denotes continuing action in past time. It was an ongoing situation. What they were not enduring is that which was commanded, meaning that which was being commanded or that which was being ordered. What they could not endure is indicated by, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And if suggests even if. So much as a beast is simply a wild animal or an animal. Touch implies ever touch, or touch even once. The mountain in this context refers to Mount Sinai, where the law was being given. No animal was permitted to touch the mountain, not even a wild animal. But if it happened, it shall be stoned, indicates the consequence of a wild animal touching the mountain. The Israelites had no choice but to stone the animal to death or thrust it through with a dart. Now, a dart is not what you might think of as you throw darts at a target. It shall be shot down with an arrow, or it shall be thrust through with a javelin. They would have to kill the animal. With a dart means with an arrow or with a javelin. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." Verse 21 continues the parenthetical statement begun in verse 20. And is emphatic, meaning indeed, in fact, yea, verily, or certainly. So terrible means that it was extremely frightful. Was indicates continuing action in past time. It was an ongoing thing. The sight is the thing which appeared, or the spectacle, as indicated by the italics. That has been supplied by the translators in order to aid the understanding of the English reader. It is understood with the result that what Moses said is, I exceedingly fear and quake. Where Moses said this is not clear. It may be referring to Deuteronomy 9:19, where Moses pleaded with the Lord not to destroy Israel after they had made and worshipped the molten or golden calf. I exceedingly fear and quake is, I am terrified and trembling. We also see in verses 2 through 24 that you readers of Hebrews have come to salvation by grace. You've not come to the giving of the law. You've come to salvation by grace. But ye, you readers of Hebrews, are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Verse 22 returns to the thought of what these believers had come to. It is in contrast to what the believers had not come to in verses 18 and 19. They have not come to the mountain that might be touched, meaning the literal Mount Sinai, which was an actual mountain burning with fire. Nor have they come to blackness and darkness and tempest or storm, where the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words were heard. Again, they've not come to the circumstances that the Israelites had experienced at Mount Sinai when the law was given. These verses mean that they have not come to the law, and that they have not come to the things which accompanied the giving of the law, but introduces a strong contrast. Ye are come unto, you people who are reading Hebrews, have come to or have approached, and its tense indicates an activity that has occurred in the past with its result continuing on. It implies that they had come to Mount Zion and that they remain at Mount Zion. Mount Zion is Mount Zion or Sion. Both are spellings in the Bible. And of course, this is located in Jerusalem. Its tense indicates that the author views his readers as genuinely saved people. And we've been saying that as we have gone through the book of Hebrews. Mount Zion is used in contrast to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai represents the giving of the law, but Mount Zion represents the provision of salvation by the death of Christ on the cross at Calvary. Instead of law, they had received grace. They have not come to the law, but they have come to salvation. Be careful about trying to put people under too many legalistic matters. There's one thing to be living faithfully for the Lord, but it's quite another thing to give them a list of do's and don'ts that they can do and can't do, or they must do and can't do. Unfortunately, some believers seem to have some sort of law involved in their thinking, and the only principle we really want is to try to practice what the Word of God teaches, okay? And we sometimes don't quite qualify there as much as we should. And may indicate a continuation of the thought, or it may be emphatic and used in the sense of even, or in the more emphatic sense of indeed, certainly, in fact, verily, or yea. Unto the city of the living God implies that these people had come to the place where God himself was. Living describes God. He is not some dead piece of wood or stone. Instead, he's alive eternally. The living God is God the Father. The heavenly Jerusalem is used in apposition to the city of the living God. Now, what this means, it's another way of saying this. It means that the city of the living God is the heavenly Jerusalem. Whereas the earthly Jerusalem was characterized by law, the heavenly Jerusalem is characterized by grace that has brought about salvation. And may continue the idea, but it may instead be emphatic in the sense of even, or in a more emphatic sense, as indeed, yea, verily, certainly, or in fact, to an innumerable company of angels, is literally to myriads of angels, or to 10,000s of angels. Of course, this is to a very large number of angels. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. They have not come to the law, but they have come to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Now it's to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. To the general assembly and firstborn continues the thought of what believers have come to. To the general assembly is to the festal gathering, which is a group gathered together for the celebration of a feast. And is emphatic, meaning even, or the more emphatic indeed, in fact, certainly, verily, or yea. To the firstborn, the church of the firstborn is to the assembly of the firstborn. Now, firstborn is plural, so it can't refer to Jesus, okay? It means, as a plural, the firstborn ones. And it's referring to saved people. Which are written in heaven is registered or recorded in heaven. Or having been registered or having been recorded in heaven. That's where your name is recorded if you're a saved person. The tense of written indicates that its action took place in past time, with its result continuing on. Thus, these firstborn ones were registered or recorded in heaven in the past, and they remain recorded or registered in heaven in the present. In heaven tells where the firstborn have been registered or recorded. Hence, the phrase is understood to an assembly of firstborn ones registered in heaven, or to a church of firstborn ones recorded in heaven. Two introduces another to whom the saved Hebrews are come. It is to God, the judge of all, which refers to God the Father. Although he is the judge of all, we realize that he has committed all judgment to the Son. We've also come to the spirits of just men made perfect. It's another group which is found where these believers have come. To the spirits of just men implies that these are the spirits of righteous ones, the spirits of just ones, or the spirits of upright ones made perfect. It's understood in the sense that they have been brought to an end. They have been brought to the goal. They have been brought to completion, or have been brought to accomplishment. In other words, they have been saved and are now perfected It's interesting that the term spirits is used here. It suggests that these spirits were absent from the body and were now present with the Lord in heaven prior to their return to earth with the Lord Jesus at the rapture, when they will receive their resurrection bodies. Verse 24, you've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, and indicates someone else to whom these believers had come. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, is literally to the mediator of the new covenant, Jesus. Covenant points to the New Testament in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which Jesus is the mediator between God and men, and to the sprinkling, or the blood that is sprinkled for atonement, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. It is the blood of sprinkling that speaketh, or speaks, or asserts, or proclaims better things than, things that are more prominent than, things that are higher in rank than, things that are preferable to, or things that are better than, as indicated by the italics, that of, has been supplied by the translators and indicates that a comparison is being made between the blood of Abel, shed by Cain, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been sprinkled in order to atone for the sins of humanity. Thus, that of Abel refers to the blood of Abel, which was shed when Cain murdered him. According to Genesis 4:10, God said, "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Abel's blood called for vengeance. By contrast, Christ's blood speaks of mercy, of pardon, of forgiveness of sin, and of salvation. That's better than vengeance. Finally, in verses 25 through 29, don't get too excited by that word finally. We're only halfway through the message. Okay, this is not telling you that the next paragraph will end it. Finally, the readers are warned, do not reject God, or you will not escape. The thought is that if they abandon Christ and Christianity, they will be rejecting God and will pay for their own sins. It's not true of anybody that's saved, because that's not going to happen. But it would be true of somebody who was a professing, not a genuine, but a professing believer, who would conclude that Christianity was not what he expected it to be and would abandon it, turn his back on it. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. These Hebrews professing faith in Christ, but contemplating abandoning Christ and Christianity, should not refuse God, or they will not escape. There will be no escape for anyone who does. God is a consuming fire. Believers must have grace by which they may serve or worship God in an acceptable manner, with reverence and godly fear, while standing in reverence and awe of Him. Have you seen any of these viewings of some of these modern day, I guess you call them revivals, where people are jumping up and down and shouting and screaming, and has nothing to do with what we read in Hebrews? Be careful. That's not what Christianity is all about. See, there's a command. Meaning, watch out, look out, beware, see to it, or take care. What they are to see to is that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Refuse means that you not decline or that you not reject. And its tense combined with a negative implies that these Hebrews professing faith in Christ but contemplating abandoning Christ and Christianity should not refuse God, or they will not escape. They should never refuse, or they should never even begin to refuse. Him that speaketh is the one who speaks, the one who proclaims, the one who asserts, and it's referring to God the Father, who in these last days spoke to believers by his Son, according to Hebrews 1:2. 4 introduces the reason these professing believers have been admonished never to refuse this one who speaks, and it's understood in the sense of because. If they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, is a simple condition, which, for sake of discussion, it's assumed to be true. And it is true. Inasmuch as it is true that they did not escape, if may be understood in the sense of since, because, or inasmuch as. They refers to the people living at the time Moses gave the law. Escaped not is did not escape. They is further defined as who refused him that spake on earth. Who refused him means who rejected him, and him that spake on earth is the one imparting a revelation, the one who imparts an injunction, or the one giving a warning on the earth tells where he gave this warning. And this is apparently a reference to Moses, who spoke the law on the earth. God actually, the Father, actually spoke through Moses as his mouthpiece. Much more suggests by how much more, and it indicates a contrast. It's understood in the sense of by how much rather, or by how much instead, as it indicated by the italics, shall not we escape, is for the most part supplied by the translators to aid the understanding of the English reader. If we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, is we, the ones who turn away or who are turning away from the one from heaven, we, the ones who reject or who are rejecting the one from heaven, or we, the ones who repudiate or who are repudiating the one from heaven. Those who have been genuinely saved will never do this. But people who have made a profession without really believing the gospel message may very well do this if they don't get genuinely saved. Him that speaketh from heaven may be the one who is from heaven, or the one who speaks or is speaking from heaven. Speaketh, as you can see by the italics, has been supplied from the context by the translators. The translators viewed this as God the Father, so they translated it as him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Whose refers to him that speaketh from heaven in verse 25. Whose voice then shook the earth indicates that God spoke, and as a result it caused the earth to shake, meaning to move to and fro, to waver, or to totter. And then means at the time of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. But introduces a mild contrast. Now means at the present time, and it speaks of the New Testament era. He hath promised, is he has announced, he has proclaimed, or he has promised, and its perfect tense in the Greek text indicates action that was taken in the past with its result continuing on. God promised something in the past, and this promise remains in effect in the present. He promised it, and his promise is still good. Saying may be understood in the sense of when he said, or while he said, by saying, or and he said. And what he said is, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. This is a quotation from Haggai 2:6. Yet is still once more, or simply once. I is emphatic and refers to God. Shake is cause to shake, and it's a prediction of a future event. And its mood indicates that it is something that will actually happen. It is not merely something which is a potential for happening, as if it were possible or even probable. No, it's definite. Not the earth only, but also heaven indicates that God is going to shake both the heaven and the earth. Heaven refers to the atmospheric and stellar heavens, rather than to the place where God dwells. And this yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. In verse 27, the writer selects three words, the words yet once more, from the quotation which he has cited in verse 26. And this word, yet once more, is literally, and the once yet, and denotes a reference to the quotation translated yet once more from the previous verse. Word has been placed in italics in the King James translators, indicating that it does not actually appear in the Greek text. It was supplied because it is required by the context. Signifieth means makes clear, shows or indicates, and its present tense indicates continuing action. What yet once more signifies is the removing of those things that are shaken. The removing is the removal. Of those things that are shaken is of the things that are shaken, of the things that are caused to move to and fro, of the things that are caused to waver, or of the things that are caused to totter. It's the same term used in verse 26 in the phrase, whose voice then shook the earth. As of things that are made is as of things that have been made. The tense of are made indicates action completed in the past whose result continues on. It indicates a state of being that is understood in the sense of in order that, for the purpose that, maybe so that, or with the result that, those things which cannot be shaken is simply the things not shaken, the things not caused to move to and fro, the things not caused to waver, or the things not caused to totter. When he shakes the heaven and the earth, some things will not be shaken. May remain completes this statement, and it means might continue. Verse 28, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Wherefore is understood in the sense of therefore, or for this reason. We refers both to the writer and the readers. Receiving is understood in the sense of because, since, or inasmuch as we receive. And what we receive is a kingdom which cannot be moved. It is a kingdom where God is reigning or ruling over believers, which cannot be moved, modifies kingdom and means immovable or unshaken, and it implies an immovable or unshaken kingdom. Let us have is an encouraging way of saying we should have. And what we are to have is grace, meaning unmerited or undeserved favor, whereby suggests by which or through which, and refers to grace. It is through grace that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We may serve God, means we may worship God acceptably, means in an acceptable manner, and tells how believers are enabled to serve or worship with reverence and godly fear, indicates two things that should always accompany believers' service or worship of God. Reverence is respect. Godly fear is a fear of God or an awe of God. How can those like you and me, who are sinners saved by grace, do anything less than stand in awe of God with utmost respect for who He is and for what He has done? For our God is a consuming fire, indicates the reason believers should serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For is the translation of two words which together are really emphatic and which are to be understood in the sense of for indeed, for in fact, or for certainly. Our God makes God very personal. He is our God as believers. Is has been supplied by the translators, as is indicated by the italics. A consuming fire is a fire which consumes. Hence, what He can do to those who refuse to submit to Him is frightening. And it's also frightening what He could do to anyone who should stray from the paths of right conduct. Be careful what you try to do in life. It's a reminder of Hebrews 10:31. Where a similar statement has been made, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. As believers, we should be constantly pursuing after God with all of our hearts. Through our personal study of the Scriptures, that means what you read on your own daily, and also through our faithful attendance in all the services of the biblical church of God's choosing for our lives. Some people are in church, but not biblical churches. Let's never stop our pursuit of Him with all of our hearts. Let's pursue after Him like never before throughout the coming year. Faithful attendance in a Bible teaching church, that's what we are. Faithful study of the Word of God on our own, that's what we need to be doing every day. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You that we have the privilege of studying this portion of Thy Word. Help us to practice it, our Father. Thank You that You have saved us and given us the privilege of living for You, and help us to do exactly that, pursuing after You as faithfully as we can be in our attendance in our church, as well as in our faithful studying of Thy Word. In Jesus' name, amen.